Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, as Darren and I discuss the marriage covenant, we stipulate that people need to be healed on the inside before they can experience a fulfilling marriage. It's so important to know that agreement, being on the same page, is paramount in a successful and loving marriage. And being in agreement with God and learning His ways is vital. God is spirit, and you must be attuned to His spirit. He instructs you not to be bound together with unbelievers, because it's impossible to relate or communicate without spiritual agreement. Darren and I taught on marriage, divorce, and remarriage, and you can have this 4-CD series with the booklet for $20. Now let's join the program.
Looking forward to sharing with you today about marriage, and I praise God that I have a great marriage with Barbara.
Well, thank you.
God was so good. He gave me probably something I don't deserve, but you're actually a delight to be married to. Barbara, I give you a bad time, but tease you a lot.
Oh, somebody who's listening, record that now. Will you please say that one more time?
Right. I tell a lot of short jokes, and I get in a lot of trouble for that.
Yes, you even bought me a sign, and it's on the kitchen wall, that short is beautiful.
Short is beautiful.
That's
it really
right.
is. Short is beautiful. So I try not to tell too many short jokes, but anyway, we're going to be talking about marriage today.
That's right.
We are so blessed to be in a marriage where God is right in the middle of everything.
Oh, and we desire that for you.
We do. You know, if your marriage is not what it should be, maybe we ought to take time to see the individuals involved in this marriage get healed, and then that marriage could be a healthy marriage.
That's
instead
right.
of two crippled people going along and one day having a big wreck and dissolving the partnership.
That's right.
And that is so sad, and it can be, you know, God can bring that healing to you, and many times, in fact, most of the time, you bring people from obviously different backgrounds, even if you grew up, quote unquote, in the same church, in the same community, and on and on. And even if you've known each other for a number of years, you bring to that marriage mix all kinds of challenges.
Mm-hmm.
And many people do not allow the Word of God to heal them on the inside, to set them free. And the Word does say, who the Son sets free is free indeed. That means there is freedom for you.
That's right.
And so if there are hang-ups in a marriage, if there are problems in a marriage, what we're telling you is God can heal that.
That's right. What we've learned so far, Darren, in the book of Genesis, is that Father, Son, and Holy Spirit
Amen.
Created man and woman, and they were in total and complete agreement. And they made man first in their image, which is spirit. Then they made it in their likeness, which is the audible and the structural part of man, the body, the human body. And they made man and woman to be totally compatible, in total agreement. And that word agreement is on the same page, one in unity, being of one mind.
You mean that's what it means?
That's right.
Being on the same page.
On the same page. That's right.
I would say it. I'm going one step further. I'd say to have the same agenda.
Yes, that's right. Willing to adapt, conformable. Now, see, some couples, well, I like it just the way it is. I don't want any changes. That does not a good marriage make. We have to bend and be flexible, each one of us in a marriage. And we studied Ecclesiastes 4:9-12 last night, Amos 3:3, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? And we found out that verse in Amos is consistent with the Jewish word ya'ad, which means to give in marriage. So Amos 3:3 is talking about people who are married. Can two walk together except they be agreed?
Well, that's Amos 3:3, but if you go down to in the same chapter, go down to verse 7,
mm-hmm.
and it's talking about unless they have an appointment.
That's right.
Now, we're really talking there about some real implications here in terms of marriage, right? Would you read those?
Well, Amos 3:3 says, do two walk together unless they have made an agreement or appointment? Then Amos 3:7, just four verses down, says, surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret counsel to his servants. And this is where God loves agreement, Darren. He loves agreement not only with Son and Holy Spirit. He loves agreement with his friends on this earth, with his prophets, with his believers, mm-hmm. with his remnant on this earth. Mm-hmm. He loves to be in agreement with them. And that's I believe, part of our responsibility as believers to be in agreement with God.
Why do you think God wants that agreement?
Because, as you said, when there is an agreement, there's total confusion. There aren't things getting done. When we don't have agreement, so much energy is wasted on strife and mm-hmm. division and all of this other stuff. When we could be building our relationships.
There's also a principle in Scripture that's exponential in that. If two of you agree, there's so much more power. In war, there's so much more power. And it talks about that with some of David's victories.
Mm-hmm.
It says, you know, with one, you can chase 1,000. With two, it's like 10,000.
10,000, yes.
Well, I believe that God is obviously the original mathematician. But when we agree, the amount of power that's available to us is so much more than just one person.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about even a cord, you know.
A three-strand cord is not easily torn apart, and that's with Jesus.
He's talking about a husband and wife and Jesus, I believe, in the mix. And he's talking about that, and there is so much more available to us when we are in agreement. But this matter of appointment just really, really talks to me. But it says, the matter of appointment, now in the New American Standard Version, it says, can two agree unless they've made an appointment? Mm-hmm. Well, some translations would say the word agreement, but this is an expanded understanding of this concept. When it talks about appointment, it means to betroth, to give in marriage, to meet by agreement, to come together.
To come together.
This agreement is further explained in Amos 3:7, which we're talking about. Surely the Lord God does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his prophets, or his servants, the prophets. And he's talking there about a real friendship.
That's right.
Situation here, something that's really tight.
Yes.
And God is saying, and of course I believe this, that the earth was turned over to man. In Psalm 115, it tells us that the earth belongs to man, but then man in the fall in the garden, and that's when disagreement came into the human race, when the man fell in the garden and that agreement with God was broken.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, man died spiritually. Adam and Eve died spiritually, and Adam lived another 900 years after he died spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
He lived physically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the great master plan of God was to bring Jesus back, and Jesus defeated that devil. And now it's up to us to enforce that defeat and that victory of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And a great way to do that is to be in agreement.
In agreement, that's right.
So when you're coming against disease that attacks your house, and that's the devil's plan, is to attack all of us with disease. And that word disease, you mentioned that several weeks ago. That's disease. That's also disunity or disagreement.
That's
There's
right.
something out of whack.
That's right. Something is out of whack.
Something's
Absolutely.
Out of alignment there.
Yes. So we go on to study 1 Corinthians 6:16 and 17. Do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? Now that's the physical union. That is not the spiritual union, because he's in sin anyway when he does that. So we see a union of a body, two bodies together. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him. Now see, God is a God of spirit. We must worship him in spirit and truth. Everything is done in spirit first, I believe, Darren, because God is spirit. He does everything in spirit first. We need to learn to do everything in spirit.
Well, really, that's the foundation of what we do in the natural, because it happens, first of all, in a drawing board in the spirit,
mm-hmm.
which we could call an idea or a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And this matter of faith substance, that's something that's not physical.
That's right.
That's a spiritual substance that can be tailored and brought into the natural world by speaking to it, by believing, by putting a word of God on it. Then that spiritual substance, which is unseen, can become seen.
Yes. Yes. Oh, praise God. We want you to really get this. We want you for the sake of your own relationships, but also for the future generation, to begin to learn that God works in spirit. It says here in 1 Corinthians 6:16 and 17, flee immorality. Do you not know that your body is a temple of Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? And so many times we allow the enemy to come in and we do things out of our flesh on our own without seeing what the consequences will be or without even asking God about it. And in 2 Corinthians 6, it says, "Do not be bound together or unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership have righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Belial?" And that word Belial is number 1100 in your Strong's. It's another word for Satan, but it also means worthlessness, wickedness, and trouble. And how dare we team up with somebody who has a record of being worthless or slothful or just wicked?
Well, let's say it this way. You can't take something solid. Let's say you take a piece of steel. You can't flow water into that steel. The steel isn't permeable. It won't accept the water. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's say that in terms of light and dark. You can't mix light and darkness. They repel each other.
That's right.
One has to give. Well, of course, we know this. When there's light brought into a dark room, then you no longer have darkness. You have light in there. Mm-hmm. But they didn't mix. One had to flee.
That's right.
To vacate the place.
One had to flee.
Some people have brought, in a sense, together steel and a liquid. I don't know how better to say that, but they cannot and will not blend. Just by the very nature of the two subjects, they will not blend. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what we have in a marriage, where people all the time think, well, I'm going to be the exception. I'm going to win this guy, or I'm going to win this gal to Jesus, and I'm going to go ahead and we're going to get married. And actually, that's a flesh union.
It is. It's a flesh.
They have a piece of paper at the courthouse that was signed by several witnesses and by a pastor or a priest or justice of the peace, and it says this is a legal document saying we are legally joined together, but are they spiritually joined together?
No.
And here this says that's impossible.
That's impossible. In the first part of this verse, it says, do not be bound together. This is a command of God. It says, don't be bound together, a believer with an unbeliever, lawlessness with righteousness, or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? And I believe that God is truly saying, I do not recognize a marriage where one is an unbeliever and one is a believer.
It's not a spiritual marriage.
That's right.
It's a flesh arrangement.
That's right.
Legal arrangement.
And we're going to study more about in the Bible how there were flesh arrangements, physical unions, but God did not
recognize them as a marriage.
That's right. Well, if you have a question or if you'd like us to pray with you, our phone number here, and we're live today. Our phone number is area code 303-689. Oh, no, that's our office phone.
No, that's right. Area code 303-455-0777.
Okay,
let me get that again.
We'll
have you all confused. Area code 303-455-0777.
Oh, praise God.
And let me tell you, we really feel for you that got into a flesh arrangement. You got into a marital contract that wasn't ordained or approved by God. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we really feel for you. But I believe God has some answers for that, too. And so if you want to chat about that, and we're saying to you that are contemplating marriage, don't marry an unbeliever.
That's right.
Because you
if
can
you
never come
believer,
together spirit to spirit and heart to heart in that arrangement. And some of you wonder, well, what's wrong? Well, that may be what's wrong.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
Let's talk to Becky in Wellington. Hello, Becky.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Super.
I'm just calling because I've married an unbeliever. And I've been a believer for about 10 years. We've been married for about 5 years. And it is truly the hardest struggle of my life, spiritually. And
did you know that you shouldn't have married at the time, that you shouldn't have married an unbeliever?
Well, I knew at the time. And he does believe, but he's basically not practicing at all. And he still questions a lot.
Okay.
When he was younger, he believed in the Lord. And I prayed a lot before I got married, up until an hour before our wedding, Lord, if this isn't to happen, then you need to stop this wedding. And
but
I truly felt I had the Lord's blessing.
How would God have stopped it, though? You might have been the catalyst that he wanted to say, you know, stop this. Because you were questioning clear up to the ceremony, weren't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah.
How do you feel looking back on it now, Becky?
What do you mean by how do I feel?
Well, I mean, when you evaluate what you got into here in this marriage, and we're not here to slam you. That's
right.
Not why we're
no,
on the
that's
air.
That's right. We're not.
But when you look back on it, do you think you made a mistake?
Sometimes I do.
Okay. Do you have children?
Just because, we have two girls now.
Okay.
And that's definitely not a mistake at all. They're definitely gifts from God. But just as far as me being able to serve the Lord wholeheartedly, it's pretty hard.
Uh-huh. Does he?
And to a point, he doesn't stand in the way, and he actually supports me and says, go ahead, I know you have to do what you have to do. But it hurts in my spirit because I want him to be there doing it with me. And unfortunately, it's not happening right now.
What's his biggest reason for not going with Jesus?
We don't really talk about it too much. When we do, it ends up in rather than saying argument, a big debate, because we're not actually yelling at each other. But it's really hard. I know that there was something that happened to him when he was younger, when he was walking with the Lord, where a man who he looked to as a godly figure basically did something that he should not have done to him. And from that point on, I think pretty much he's turned away, and I told him that's not fair to God, that wasn't God. And just because you cannot trust people doesn't mean you can't trust the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So what we're dealing here is with anger toward God.
I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh. How do you pray for him?
I just pray that the Lord would soften his heart.
Do you believe your husband was ever saved?
I do believe that, yeah.
Where do
he
you
tells
think?
Me because I go to a spirit-filled church, and it's the way that we practice and everything,
uh-huh.
And he tells me, I know what you, I used to do things like you used to do, and I know what your relationship's like. And there's times when I do get angry, and I say, you don't know what my relationship is like with God. You can't say that.
Does he, let me ask you this, does he mock your relationship with the Lord?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He just doesn't agree.
Right.
Okay.
I got a verse for you, and it's Ezekiel 11:19 for your husband. Write that down and speak it every day for him.
11:19?
Yes. I will give him one heart, and I'll put a new spirit within him, and I shall take the heart of stone out of his flesh and give him a heart of flesh, that he may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. That's what I desire for your husband. And you know what? You're really doing, Paul, and I know you've read this chapter, that if the unbelieving husband desires to live with her, let her not send him away. And so you are doing the biblical thing right now.
Yeah, I like what I'm hearing, Becky.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Becky, what if we started really praying powerfully for your husband?
I'd love it.
Okay.
Because, you know... Sorry, I'm about to cry.
That's okay.
But
I might cry with you.
The Lord spoke to me a few months back and told me that he's going to have to take him down to the bottom,
mm.
and he's going to pull him out, and that he will walk with the Lord.
Mm.
And it's hard, and I trust God, and I know it's going to happen, but it's just so hard. And,
yeah.
You know, constantly praying and thinking, okay, and then it's scary to think, Lord, what are you going to do that's going to take him down to the bottom, you know? Don't let anything happen to my children. And
no.
Don't let us lose our house.
No, well.
Like that. But, you know, if that's not with the children, God, please know what.
That's right. And
if we have to lose our house, then...
Well, God is not a killer.
But sometimes we do have to lose our houses, and I know exactly how you feel, and that security is really hard to let go of. But if that happens, God will always take care of you, Becky, and the children. And sometimes God has to test with fire. He really does.
Right.
And but I know he's given your husband a godly woman who's able to stand it. God's going to give you the grace to go through it.
Well, let's talk
Praise
about
God.
Where your husband is right now. And
thank you, Jesus.
Probably angry toward God. And what I'd like to do is suggest this, because the road your husband's on is a dangerous road. And it kind of goes like this. We have questions, and then one day it gets into cynicism. We get cynical, and then it goes to mockery and to blasphemy,
mm-hmm.
and it's pretty serious.
Right.
So I believe this, that we also need to pray and set your husband's will free. See, right now I believe the devil has a hold of his will, and
right.
he's not thinking straight.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you,
well,
Jesus.
Now if it doesn't, tell me.
Well, it does, because I know that he's known the truth.
And right.
When he was younger, he was raised Catholic, but he loved the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not bashing Catholics at all, because I know 99.9% of them truly love the Lord.
Right.
You know?
There's some great Catholic believers.
Exactly. And that's part of his thing, too. He won't even come to church with me.
Okay.
That foot in the church.
Now, let me also suggest this, though. In the Catholic Church, there's a lot of idolatry, which the Lord says, and Becky, you're fading out on me. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, yeah.
Okay. I believe we need to bind that spirit of idolatry and ask God to bring forgiveness to your husband's life and to set his will free. And let's start blessing him with a great thirst for righteousness.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
I think that's
okay.
Matthew 5:8, isn't it? Matthew 5:8. No, blessed are those that hunger and thirst for righteousness.
I think that's blessed are the pure in heart.
Oh, okay.
For they
so then it's
God.
5:6. Matthew okay. 5:6. Yes.
Well, I'm ready to pray if you are.
Okay, I'm ready.
Can you see your husband born again, serving the Lord with all his heart?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
Praise God.
I'm going to ask God to really strengthen that vision. And Satan would like to come and take that away from you, but I'm just going to say he can't have it.
Amen.
How's that?
Amen.
Well, Father God, we lift up Becky right now and her husband and her two kids. You have two girls?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I pray and ask right now, Father God, that you would strengthen her vision of her husband being
yes.
born again, turned on to the Lord, having devotions with her, going to church with her and the girls.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, Father, we bind that spirit of mockery, that spirit of cynicism, blasphemy, doubt, anger toward you, Lord God. And Father, right now, I say the devil has to release this man's will so he can think straight.
Thank you, Lord,
we praise you for that. We just praise you and thank you that Becky's husband now will be able to think clearly and will be able to hear the message. Lord, soften his heart.
Yes, give him.
And we pray that the eyes of his heart would be enlightened so he can really hear the true gospel.
Thank you, Lord.
And now, Lord, today we pray for Becky that you would strengthen her, Lord. Just strengthen her in a supernatural way. Lord, let her have just a baptism of your love today in a new way. And we know that can happen in Jesus' powerful name. We know it is happening today. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you very much.
Oh, God bless you.
Becky, it's easy to pray for you.
Yes.
Why don't you stay on the line? We'll get your address and we'll send you some things that I believe will be a blessing for you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you have
you.
A power pack?
No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
We'll
send you one of those, too.
Okay, thank you.
And we will be praying for you.
Yes.
Okay, God bless you both.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Hang on. We'll get your info here.
Okay.
Oh, I love to pray for that. You know, God has a repair program for these marriages that are out of sync.
That's right. Nothing is impossible.
Nothing.
We're going to find out tomorrow that in Ezra, they did a horrible sin. They really did. And still, God provided through his grace a way out, a way of escape. And there always is with the Lord. There's a way that it's going to work out okay. It says in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to those that love God.
But you know, Barb, I believe we need to look at these spiritual battles from the Spirit. And we're talking about spiritual perspective. And you see, many of you that are in a disjointed marriage or one that's out of sync and maybe one has fallen away from the Lord or has never known the Lord, I believe their will has to be set free. And we can pray by the power of the Holy Spirit that the devil has to release their will.
Mm-hmm.
That's their ability to think, their ability to make decisions. We'd like to help you with that because I know prayer is powerful. When we pray in the name of Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit, the Lord goes to work on
that
mate that's not walking like they should be walking.
That's right. We have a series here called Prayer That Gets Results. And we pray knowing that we're going to get results because it does bring deliverance when we pray.
We've got Diane on a car phone. How are you, Diane?
Wonderful. I am so glad you're embarking on this series. But I have the lady you just talked to sounds so much like me. And I have an encouragement for her. I was kind of in the same position. My husband and I, neither one of us were believers when we got together. And actually, he was raised in a believing household. I was not.
Hmm.
But I came to the Lord through my father-in-law.
Wow.
And things just went horrible after that point.
Yeah, they usually do go downhill.
My husband has gone to work one day and not come home for 6 weeks. And
whoa.
Wrote thousands of dollars in bad checks and just about lost everything more than once. But you know what? God was always there. And he always made sure that myself and the children were taken care of.
Oh, praise God.
And I'm shaking just talking about
this. That's okay.
This last summer, my husband did come to the Lord.
Oh, hallelujah.
And, I mean...
In other words, he had to hit the wall.
Did he have to hit the wall first?
Oh, he had to. He went so low, I didn't think there was lower, and he would find lower.
Oh. Okay.
He hit the wall I don't know how many times. And all those prayers that I prayed that I felt like they were bouncing off the ceiling. When he wrote all the bad checks, my prayer was, you know, just, Lord, let all this chasing after the world amount to nothing. He was mm-hmm. gone again at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And unbeknownst to me, he had gone through Vegas, he had gone through California, he had gone through all these places, and he got into this little teeny town in Oregon, and everything he had bought was stolen. And I had prayed that he not get separated from his Bible, which he had taken with him, even though he wasn't really a believer yet. The only bag that didn't get stolen was the one with his dirty laundry and his Bible.
He put his Bible in with his dirty laundry. That's interesting.
He walked through a puddle and got his shoes all muddy, so he washed them in a motel room and set them on the heater, and they melted to the heater.
Oh, no. Okay.
You know, and I mean, when he did return, and just hearing about all the things, and it's like, gosh, you couldn't deny that they were just exact answers to my prayers that I thought weren't getting heard.
Well, praise God. I think that'll be a great thing, an encouragement to Becky, what you've been talking about, because if you heard her, she said that the Lord told her a couple weeks ago that her husband would have to hit bottom.
Right.
And that God took care of you and your children.
So are you two now able to walk together in the Lord?
Oh, yes.
Wonderful.
So, you know what? His coming to the Lord isn't the end of the fight, because now that he's come to the Lord, and now that we are a family serving the Lord, that's even more threatening to the enemy.
Right.
And so it's still constantly having to fend off attacks and stand together. And,
yes.
You know, in some ways it's more frustrating, because I spent all my time just looking forward to him coming to the Lord, and I didn't see beyond that.
Uh-huh.
And so it was like, well, now that my husband's come to the Lord, everything's going to be wonderful. Well, there's still those struggles.
Oh, always will be. In this world, you will have tribulation. Jesus promised that.
Uh-huh.
But be good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord.
Oh, yes.
So,
we went through, I mean, gosh, you could do a made-for-TV movie.
Soap opera.
On the stuff we went through.
Well, I tell you, Diane, we're out of time today. Can you stay on the line? We'll get your number here or your address, and we'll send you some good stuff.
I've already got your pop.
Oh, you do?
Okay.
Oh, well praise
good.
God.
All right. Well, thank you for the encouragement.
Oh, yes.
God bless
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate your call.
God bless you, too.
All right, Diane. God
Bye.
Bless.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in